session, and it probably is one of the first things that, that's
the only thing that'll be there to discuss.
It'll be, that's right.
Not only Cleveland, but the main thing, Irving's gonna be not what about executive privilege. Now, he hasn't been set yet, though, has he?
No, it's not, so there's ample time to have Dick well.
You ever talk with him and say, we're talking about the executive privilege, that he refuses. Now, your position, I mean, of course, I know, the position is greater than derogatory, which they will never, they probably accept. But it may give us a position that can be reasonable in the public mind.
Correct.
That's what you have in mind.
Correct.
Now, the other possibility is the one that, Irving, I think, suggested that you could have, agree that, ranking, the chairman, the ranking member, could, question under, basically the same, under very restricted, limited areas, what you think of that?
Me coming down here, say?
Basically, that's a...
I think that's a, sort of, if we couldn't get in, written interrogatories, that's still a serious precedent to deal with, though. If they come down here and, start questioning people, I think the issues would have to be so narrowed for even that situation. And that's what will involve, a narrowing of the issues to where, what information that, say, a Haldeman might have, or an Ehrlichman might have, that the committee needs to be completing its report or its investigation.
Yeah. We will say that we will ask, we will expose written interrogatories under oath and answer questions.
That's publicly, you're not withholding any information, and you're not using the shield of the privilege.
Well, like I say, when you talk to clients, because I have raised this intriguing thing to them on his case, you've forgotten, I said, we'll go back and read the first chapter, six questions, tell them about it. But I know very, as I said, espionage against the nation, not against the party. FBI Hoover himself, who was a friend of mine, even then. So I'm sorry, I've been ordered not to cooperate, and they didn't give us one goddamn thing. I expected that investigation. Two stupid little committee investigators, they weren't that stupid, they were tenacious. One had been fired to the FBI, it was good, decent, although he was a drunk. And, we got it done. But we broke that thing. Without any help, the FBI then got the evidence, which eventually, see, we got the paper, we got all the pumpkin pictures, we got all that on ourselves.
What do you know?
The FBI did not cooperate, the Justice Department did not cooperate, the administration would not answer questions, except, of course, for cabinet officers, being like, Burley came down, and something happened.
When the shoe's on the other foot, how they look at things, doesn't it?
They did well, and as I said, the New York Times, Washington Post, and all the rest of the administration's excellent, right? They didn't. They put it in terms of executive privilege, they were just against the investigation. So the real question there is, now you can say that I, having been through that, they can talk to her, and I feel it. I always felt very bent about that, felt that was wrong, that's the conscious mention. Now this is another matter. But I think that we ought to cooperate, and I'm trying to find an area of cooperation. Here it is. You see, the Baker theory is that he wants to have a big slam bang thing for a week, and then he thinks interest in the whole thing will fall off, and he's right about that. But his point of having the big slam bang thing for a week is to bring all the big shots up right away. But the big shots you can bring up is you can bring up stands. They gotta put him on, and they gotta put Mitchell on. But he'd like to get, of course, all of them early and close.
I understand that, Bob, and you have talked about running stands out as sort of a stalking horse on another post.
Well, it's not my idea. It's, I guess, Mueller or somebody.
I think it was my idea, as a matter of fact. And I think it could diffuse, it'd be one diffusing factor in the hearings. Stan would like to get his side of the story out. He is not in any serious problem ultimately. It could be rough and tumble, but Maury is ready to take it. And it would be a mini hearing, no doubt about it, but this further detracts from the
other. It's a mini hearing, it's true. Except knowing the press, I'm trying to think out loud of that. Knowing that they, they have taken, they sold several of these stories on Colson and Haldeman about four times.
Well, I know that.
Now, I think, I just wonder if that doesn't do that. I don't know. Take Stan, they get him up, I see
think we have a good, strong case that the donor had relinquished control over the money, and constructive possession of the money was in the hands of the Finance Committee and Sears and the like, so that there is no...
How did they get my brother?
I'll tell you, that was sheer sandbagging of your brother. Here's what they did. They called him down here in Washington.
Who did?
It was Vesco and Sears, and said that we want to talk to you about the nature of this transaction because we've had some earlier conversations with Stans. He really wasn't privy to it and didn't know much about it. Said, sure, I'll come up. And what the long and short of it was, they were asking him to find out from Stans whether they wanted cash or check. Stans just responded to your brother and said, I don't really care, whatever they want to do. And that's what he relayed back in this, he didn't even understand why he was there.
Sure.
So, and he's clean as a whistler, just no
problem. Oh, I know that, I know.
That's no problem at all.
So you would sort of lean to having Stans
to
talking out there?
I think it would take a lot of the teeth out of, you know, the stardom of the people they'll try to build up to. If Stans has already gone through a hearing in another committee, obviously they'll use everything they have at that time, and it won't be a hell of a lot. It confuses the public. The public is bored with this thing already.
Yeah.
One of the things I think we did succeed in before the election.
Very clean. What I mean is, let's base it on this thing. The way I analyze it, and I should say that we wait on it, but I think I can sense what it is. The way I analyze it.
Circumstances of innuendo, of false charges, he has a darn good chance of winning that libel suit he's got against Larry O'Brien.
That's it?
Yeah, that's right.
Good. That's why Larry filed a lawsuit.
That's right.
It's really sickening, you know. These guys have always figured, well, we have the press.
calling the individuals involved. And they have said as much as they're doing it because they're afraid someone's going to ring a libel suit on them. So it did have a sobering effect. It will keep them at the honest if we can remind them that they can't print anything.
Well,
anything.
You, of course, know that it's not the time of Bill's case, but it is done. Maybe Radford had a party or something.
we'd have been a lot better off during this whole Watergate thing if he'd been alive, because he knew how to handle that bureau.
Oh.
And how to keep them in bounds.
Well, if Hoover would have fought, he would have fought, that's the point. He'd have fired a few people, or he'd have scared them to death. You know, he's got files on everybody. But now, in the present time, the bureau is leading, like I said, Baker and Gray and Eisen. That's just not coming to the bureau. Just who in the hell is it coming from? How in the hell could it be coming from anybody else? Kid coming from Henry Peterson, is it?
No, I just would not.
Coming from the deposition, is it?
No. They're getting raw data. They're getting the raw, what they call 302 forms.
Yeah.
Right, so the summaries of the interviews.
Yeah. Well, if you could handle it that way, I think that's the best thing to do. You ever wonder, really, if Colson, who's got the brass, balls of a brass monkey, should bring a suit? Now, that, understand, I know that Colson's got a lot of vulnerabilities. Terms of people that he knew and so forth and so on, and certainly an issue, but I mean on a narrow issue.
Oh, Chuck and I talked about
win
it. He could possibly win the suit, but lose the war for this reason. Right. The counter-discovery in a libel action has no bounds.
I guess.
Chuck is quite
a lot.
That's the problem there.
That's an issue caught in federal court.
That's right. They can just come in and depose him on everything he's done at any point in time, and that does
keep him out of it. Keep him out of it.
Right.
Well, the same as Peter Stewart. He is a sewer, right?
He's got a good one, and he may well prevail. It may well be the device to force the settlement of all these other suits we've got out there. You know, we've got $14 million worth of suits against us, and we've got 7 or 10 against us.
Christ, they all want to get together and drop.
That's what we're trying to get accomplished.
Yeah,
they're just causing, they're causing everybody problems. And,
That's right. They've got problems and we've got them. Now, you see this Vesco thing coming on. Burns my tail. As I raised all the problems on this, and he didn't do anything about it. Well, he just couldn't. What in the name of God became of our investigation of their financial activities? Jesus Christ, they borrowed, they canceled debts, they borrowed money. What the hell is that?
It's still going on, Mr. President. There, look, McGovern's stuff is in such bad shape. It's another unfortunate thing. The GAO comes in to audit us.
Yeah.
They find all the documents so they're able to make.
Is that why the GAO will say that?
Well, they have now, but you know, it gets about that much coverage in the paper. They can't even figure out what McGovern's done. The books are in such a mess, but you haven't seen them say anything yet, and that's one of those things that hopefully will
bring out
as to what a mess this was, and
how are you going to bring it out? Well, you can't bring it out in these hearings.
Well, I think an independent sort of media type will bring it out. Chuck is going to be of aid when he's out there, not connected with the White House.
Yeah.
Little bits of tidbits can be dropped to Chuck. Chuck will still have his channels to put things out.
Sure. And that's what, in my view, of course, it was hard for him to leave because he loves the action and the rest. But Mark, Colson can be more valuable help than him, because basically him, he just reached the point where he was too visible.
The lightning rod.
And outside, I mean, he can start this and that to tell him, I'm a private citizen, I'm saying my goddamn please.
That's right. That's absolutely right. I think Chuck can be a great aid in this thing, and I think he'll do it.
Now, another thing, to recap, you will talk to get him tied down as he can. I doubt how much could be done there. But unless I were to find this fact, so that Kleindienst knows that it's been decided and that's it. And he'll say, well, they won't take it. It's just mine. That's all right. That's what it is. You know, go on the interrogatory thing. We should see. Your view would be not to give any further.
I'd say, you initially hold the line as far as you go if it becomes apparent that it's necessary for informational purposes. For me, the president is not going to hide any information. You're not going to hide any information.
Yeah.
And this can be given in a sworn statement through an interrogatory. Send your questions down. They'll be answered. We won't hide the information. We won't operate internally and the like, because you have a political circus going.
Okay. I understand you can do that. Mullen still thinks everybody should go up and testify.
Sure.
But at least you had a talk with him. I do want you to look into the case, though.
Yes, sir, I am.
The guy's got a bad rap. His man. God damn it, we're getting out of
him. I'm doing that. I talked to Clark yesterday. I talked to him last night again.
Yeah, okay.
He's on this as hot and heavy as can be. And
well, does he think he's got a bad rap?
He does. He thinks he's got a bad rap, and I, you know,
maybe he
has. It's very.
My whole rule is not a bad rap. That, which, my rule, because when a bureaucrat takes it upon himself to go out and go way beyond the pale in terms of attacking the administration, why can't we tolerate that? He gives out
the difference.
Suppose a congressman or senator in one of his administrative assistants went out and attacked one of his contributors. What the hell would he do?
Wouldn't surprise me. behavior. And this doctor wouldn't buy it.
The doctor had never examined it before.
No.
They were trying to set it up.
Oh, yeah, that would have.
What other kind of activities?
Well, I, you know, like I say, I haven't probed Sullivan to the depths on this because I can see, one, I want to treat at arm's length. We make
right.
sure he is safe. But he
right.
has a world of information that may be available.
But he says that what happened on the bugging thing, who told Buck to come again?
Oh, on the 68 thing, I was trying to track down the leaks. He said that the only place he could figure it coming from would be one of a couple sources he was aware of that had been somewhat discussed publicly. He said that Hoover had told Patrick Coyne about the fact that this was being done. Coyne had told Rockefeller. Now, Rockefeller had told Kissinger. Now, I've never run it any step beyond what Mr. Sullivan said there. Now, the other thing is that when the records were unavailable for Hoover, all this logs, Hoover tried to reconstruct them by going to the Washington field office. And he made a pretty good stir about what he was doing when he was trying to get the records reconstructed. And he said at that time, he probably hit the grapevine in the Bureau that this had occurred. But there is no evidence of it. The records show at the Department of Justice and in the FBI that there's no such surveillance was ever conducted. Of White House staff and reporters and like. And now the other person that knows is aware of it is Mark Feld, and we've talked about Mark Feld, and
what does it do to him? Let's face it, you know, suppose the Feld goes out and grabs him all day, what does it do to him?
He can't do it.
That's my wife's, who's going to hire him?
That's right.
Let's face it.
He can't.
The guy that does that can go out, and you mean he's, of course, he couldn't do it unless he had a guarantee from somebody like Time Magazine, say, look, we'll give you a job for life. Then what did they do? They put a job for life, and everybody would treat him like a pariah. He's in a very dangerous situation, these guys, you know, the informers. Look what it did to Chambers. Chambers informed because he didn't give a goddamn. But then, one of the most brilliant writers, the credit of Jim Chubbick, we've ever seen in this country, and I'm not referring to the Communist Nation, his great essay of God and time, 25, 30 years ago, probably the best writing anyway, is finished. They finished.
Well, I think I there's no...
Either way, the informer is not one in our society. Either way, that's the one that people do sort of line up against there.
That's right.
They don't say, well, that son of a bitch informer. I don't want him around. We don't want him around, would they?
I don't...
Hoover to Coyne to N.R. and Kay. Right.
Right.
Why would Coyne tell them that's not an operation? I've known Coyne for years. I'm not well, but I... is a great friend. Oh, one of my sensory thoughts about the King was a bureau head.
Now, this is Sullivan's story. I have not, I don't know if it's true. I don't have any reason to doubt
it. This is gossip. Hoover told me, so he also told Mitchell personally that this had happened.
You know, you're talking about, I was talking about the 68. Incident that just occurred, not the
bugging. 68 bugging the plane.
Yeah, I wasn't referring to that now. When this Coyne to
okay.
this was the fact that Newsman had been I thought he meant the reference to the fact that 3 years ago the White House had allegedly the time story.
That's not the
No, on the 68 incident, all I've been able to find out is what you told me that Hoover had told you, what he told Mitchell.
Yeah.
He,
Mitchell
that's right.
Then
Kevin Phillips called Pat Buchanan the other day about this, and Mitchell says that he's talked to Deloach. Deloach has in his possession, and he has let Mitchell review them, some of the files on this.
But
they don't go very far. They don't go very far. This is Deloach protecting his own hide. Court of Appeals has been sitting for 2 weeks. and not even letting these people out to prepare their case for appeal.
What is the situation that's got that judge in court of appeals? No way that's going to change. They're going to sit there until hell freezes over.
You mean on this issue?
No, 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 no. The one that we got to get rid of in order to get a...
Oh, Bassalon?
Majority of Bassalon, yeah. Nothing.
I just think he's going to try to weigh us out.
Crooked.
Oh, he's just he's an insane man. He's just, I wish I could establish he was crooked because he's, that would be easier. He could be forced out. He's ready for retirement. He's just sitting to wait. I don't think he can last 3.5 more years, frankly. I think he'll get a shot at putting the rest of that bench together and misses the wildest circuit in the whole
world. Yeah, but basically, if we get him, does that give us a majority yet?
Not quite. Not quite.
Now, we've got McKinnon, and we've got Roger Robb, and we have the FBI fellow.
Welke is there, too.
We've got four.
Yeah. It's growing.
We need 6, 5. Well, nice person.
You know, here's the thing. They so seldom sit in bond anymore that it's you know, they're three-men panels, and we just need enough that we can get our men on these three-men panels with frequency. For probably 80%
of the time. Of course, McKinnon, there's all of our guys have been coming years too, but if they get out, they'll sure as hell find somebody in their place. And if they do get out, they've got to get out a year in advance, because believe me, the Congress will hold up every goddamn judgeship.
Remember, Johnson tried that at the end. He waited too long.
He waited too long, but I think we've got to have understanding of our judges. But any of them are going to, they've got to move the first concession.
In fact, that's something I should get in order right away, is an examination of what, you know, where...
Well, where we are, and it's not that it goes right to the Supreme Court, too.
That's right.
To see if Blackman, Powell, of course, is a prime candidate for that. He's a gentleman, he gets maybe signed by God, he can't do it. And then he says at the end of the minute, but he gives us the time.
That's right.
But Powell, Berger, Blackman are all in their 60s.
If they have any indication or feel, we should know so we can get a...
Well, so, no, so that what, if they want their, shall we say, influence on the court to survive, they've got to give us a chance to appoint those kind of people. I can't help but believe, though, that in the next 3, almost 4 years, well, it has to be in 3 years, it's got to be in 3 years, that something is going to happen to some of the members of that court, for Christ's sakes. Douglas is over 70.
He's got a pacemaker. That's right.
I know, he's had that for years. But Douglas is over 70. Brennan's over 70, isn't he?
No, I don't think Brennan is 70 yet.
He's in good health.
Good health. Probably
they're good marshal.
Marshall's in bad health.
Well, they say that, but is he really?
Well, the clerks up there that I have probably just worked in my office as an intern here at the White House is up there clerking. He says Marshall is a weak man and not in good health, obviously. The clerks chat amongst themselves.
Yeah.
That we may well get...
Marshall, of course, you've got to put a blind man on the hand job. If we could get one that isn't as bad as he is.
It'd be tough to find, but...
Well, I was thinking, for example, you could take this Philip Brown, one of the people on the attorneys thing from Philadelphia. He'd be pretty good. The other thing is, of course, that's why I'm taking Jules over here.
Very potential.
Why not kill two birds with one stone? Give them a black woman.
Right.
She's a good woman.
Historic appointment.
She's a good woman. And she's... And when they say she is a tolerant figure, who the hell is a tolerant figure in that court? Well, I would have to say, Douglas has got brains. Brennan is a boob. Thurgood Marshall's a boob. Wizard White is better than ordinary. He's above average. Potter Stewart is a weak man. Potter is a nice fellow, but weak, not strong. Something has happened to him since he's been here. Our own people, Blackman, slightly above average. Berger, way above average because of administrative abilities. Powell, way above average. Now that's about...
And then Rehnquist.
And Rehnquist, who is off the top.
I was going to say, you know, I heard from the chief not long ago that he is such a delight to the chief.
Well,
so sorry.
job you've got to move to that kind of people. And boy, I'm going to look through the next appointment. I don't care whether it's they're going to be young. Now, this Jules is I want her to really push and slug her with it because if something happens to that Jack, he's a nice person, but he's dumb as
hell. No, he's not.
He is not a bright man. But, you know, put Jules on her. Can you imagine those bastards in the Senate voting against her?
No way.
No way.
No way.
Now we got her there. She doesn't have to be in the group. We can move her directly from that job onto that
quick room
after she's in there, sitting around. Well, we don't cross that bridge yet.
But you never know. Tomorrow it could happen. That's the nature of it. But I do think it would be good for me and to talk to again to Kleinies about getting some sort of perspective on older judges we've appointed and those that we have some control on, and possibly friendly Southern Democratic judges that are old who would like to see the right kind of appointment go.
That's right.
We ought to have an analysis.
You ought to have an analysis made. He's worked on all this. Have in mind the fact that he will not be here, of course, after a year. But he should make the analysis. You can tell him that you and I have talked, and I don't want him. I can tell him that this is, again, something that I'd like for him to initiate on his own without saying that I order
right.
it. But tell him that, and he'll be delighted that I expect to report in about a couple of months.
All right.
And then if he should come in and ask for an appointment and tell me about that, building.
That's important, too. And the morale of Kleinies is the morale of the Department of Justice.
You can build him. I'll tell him that I've been thinking about it, and I thought that he ought to be a self-generating follow on this. Let's analyze the bench. Age. Tom, I don't think anybody should be in the court over the age of 70. I mean that anyways. And so let's go and see what we can do by getting some appointments made. How would you like to have Teddy Kennedy appointed judge to the court? Jesus, can you write me? So tell Dick that he'll enjoy that time. This is a very super secret thing that it occurred to me after I met with him. I didn't want to mention it to anybody, so that you're, but you're mentioning it so that he can take it as his own project. He's analyzing it. And he said he can really, what he can do is to bridge off of my birthday statement where I said we had to have younger people in the court and so forth. And I encourage Rehnquist to direct the bridge off of that. Tell him that the chief is talking to me about the people more Rehnquist than I. I don't want him to submit names.
Oh, no.
I just want an analysis of that district court, circuit court, and the state supreme court, and just go right down the line. My God, we'll be ready. That way, rather than when somebody comes in, they'll say, "Well, geez, can you put old Gordon Ellis' brother-in-law in the court?" And then we respond to that. We'll make our own choice. We'll be ready. We've got to have a bank of judges, lawyers, etc. that we can throw in. Needless to say, our balancing it with our good ethnic friends. If you're a fine and honest Italian, you put them on the court.
Right.
That's goddamn hard, but you sometimes can. I mean, honest Italian can find some, but they're making so much that they don't want to take this sort of thing. But you got to get Italian old. One black we've got. No more Jews. Not needed. Very good. That's one thing where, I had enormous pressures to come to these appointments. I shouldn't be there. Jewish in the court, I said, hell no. I said, well, what about it? We're not being properly defended. I said, well, if you look at the White House, I said, who's the chief economic advisor? Oh, yes. Who's the head of the Federal Reserve? Burton. Jewish. Who's the head of the NSC? Kissinger. Jewish. Who's one of the major presidential researchers? That one. Jewish.
Right.
My view of it is this. Far from being anti-Semitic, I'm not pro-Semitic either. I'm just pro-ability.
Right.
But on the other hand, you have to be, in terms of the minority groups, you've got to reach out and pull people in who don't quite have.